Welcome to the Business Report. I'm Gary Struble, and joining us in the studio this evening is the Vice Chancellor of the University of the Free State, Professor Francis Peterson. Welcome, Prof.
Good evening, Gary, and I'm certainly welcome in Namibia. Thank you.
I must first, for declaration of if I sound friendly, it's because I am an alumni of the University of the Free State, so it's always nice to chat to representatives from the varsity when they come and visit. So perhaps let's start out with that. It's a long way from home. You're not here supporting the Cheetahs playing the Namibian rugby team in the Curry Cup. So what does the delegation of the University of the Free State come and do in Namibia?
Gary, is actually three foci. The one is that it's always good to come to Namibia. It's just a fantastic place. But we're here to engage with our alumni. Let's start there. We will have alumni functions in Windhoek. But also in Sokopmund, and that is to strengthen the relationship that we do have with the alumni, but also to give an update in terms of where the university is and if we're on track on our vision, our strategy, and why they should keep on supporting the University of the Free State. The second reason is that we also here to attend a conference that focuses primarily around agriculture. It's called Roo Forum. And the members consist of universities. So there's over 150 members across the continent. And most of them are here, vice chancellors, deputy vice chancellors, deans. And we also bring registrars, communication managers of the different institutions together so that they can interact. Our focus, part of the Roo Forum, is to look at collaborative projects. It's an opportunity to engage with the funders. So we've got the African Development Bank. We've got foundations that from America, the UK, Europe here. So there's a lot of side meetings that's happening. And then obviously to also talk to the institutions, specifically in Namibia, University of Namibia, NUST, on collaborative projects that we could work together, co-create some solutions. And there's a lot of developments happening from the economy perspective in Namibia, and I'm pretty sure we will talk about that a little bit later, but also to see how we can jointly look at skills development, because there might be specific advanced skills that the local universities on their own can't deliver. And we would like to partner in that, so that's part of the engagements as well. And in fact, this morning I had a meeting with the Deputy High Commissioner of South Africa here in Namibia, just to talk about what's happening at a political level, because you know politics are very important in all of these dimensions. So that's really the reason why we're here.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. let's perhaps transition straight into that discussion. And correct me if I'm wrong, but my recollection is the last time we spoke 2 years ago, there was a nascent Department of Engineering that was starting to come on stream. How has that gone? Because I think that probably talks most directly to the economic development we see here in the oil and gas sector, would be trying to understand how engineering faculties start gearing up for the very specific skills that are required in those industries.
Yeah. So, Gary, you're absolutely correct. But as you know, with this establishing these departments, there are lots of approval processes. So internally, we have gone through that approval process. We then had to engage with the Engineering Council of South Africa. That took probably more than a few months. We also then had to engage with the Department of Higher Education Training for accreditation and approval, and then also with the South African Qualifications Authority. We've done all of that, and that approvals have been given. So what we decided is we're going to start with the offering of two engineering programs, one particularly in the area of bioprocessing, and the other in the area of agricultural engineering. It will be a four-year degree, so it will be a bachelor's in engineering, and then start to build up the faculty that way. As you know, if you look at the health sciences faculties at universities, it's very, very expensive faculties. So is engineering, because there's equipment, there's infrastructure, and so on. So we decided that we're going to use a sort of a phase-in approach. So there are two programs that we would offer from the beginning of next year, the beginning of 2025, and then hopefully we can build it from there. And it's probably coming back, and I think the conversation that I had with you last year, there was a question, how can a university that has got as vice chancellor an engineer not have an engineering faculty? And you know, part of my delivery was to try to see whether we can do that, and we deliver on that. So we will have a faculty of engineering, and hopefully that will grow over the next couple of years.
And of course, the good opportunity to link into the conversations locally.
Absolutely.
In trying to understand what's going to be required, what sort of skills will be required on the continent that aren't universally available, certainly from South African or Namibian context, and sort of create specialist streams early on, which is a lot easier to do with a young faculty.
Yeah. Now, I often, and I think the last time we probably did talk about that, when I look at the original business plan for the engineering faculty, I said to my colleagues that put the business plan together, does this look like a University of Cape Town, University of Witwatersrand, University of Pretoria engineering faculty? We have the opportunity of starting with a blank piece of paper and have to take into account what happened the last 5, 6, 7 years in the engineering environment, the infusion of technology, also the infusion of the human component into engineering. And therefore, your curriculum, the type of infrastructure that you're going to need, apparatus to do experiments, that need to be different. Mm-hmm. So part of this new processing is that sort of thinking that has gone into it.
So you've mentioned the sort of evolution of technology, which obviously has bearing in engineering, but it has bearing on education too. We've seen an enormous change in the zeitgeist of the world around education with the introduction, or the more commonplace introduction of AI now as a thing we live with that will change everything, and the dialogues that go around that. From an education perspective, obviously there's enormous upside to the introduction of these technologies. We can much more rapidly advance many of the research areas in education. But obviously from educating teenagers into adults, it must provide some serious challenges. Perhaps just give us an oversight of how AI has changed your job in the last 2 years.
Yeah. So I just want to state, Gary, that artificial intelligence have been with us for quite a number of years, but it played out in the research space. Mm. You know, I actually work with neural net models and artificial intelligence models when I did my research on my PhD study in the mining sector. So on the research side, it has been a tool. Obviously, there's a lot of advances that has happened, but it was not something new. Where the impact came was in the education part. So we never use it as a tool to enhance our teaching and learning in a way. Which hit the university and higher education sector is when we had, end of November 2022, the ChatGPT that came to light. And I played with that. It was launched in November, end of November 2022. I was in a holiday break, and I decided I'm going to play with it. Mm. So in January last year, I came back to the university and I said to the deans, all right, so how are we going to use ChatGPT? There were a couple of deans that didn't know what it was because it was, you know, beginning of January last year. But the others that knew about it said, well, how can we protect the academic project? Because students now can have access to this particular tool, and they could produce responses and answers that is not their own. Mm. So there was a lot of suggestions of how to intervene, you know. And I said, no, our approach is we're going to embrace it. And if we're going to embrace it, our attitude is going to be totally different, because it's not going to be replacement or alternative. It is how we can use to enhance that. And I said to them, to be able to embrace it, you have to put yourself into the the boots of a student and ask the sort of questions that a student would ask you.
Mm.
And then you would be able to reflect on the responses. So now, artificial intelligence, and I'm just using ChatGPT as an example, a language model of artificial intelligence, but it plays out in different ways, is that it started to be integrated. And there are institutions that have mastered that to a certain extent, the embracing and use it to the full capacity. There are the institutions that still don't know how to, they see it as a threat.
Mm.
But generally, at the University of the Free State, we integrate it in our blended teaching and learning strategy. So our teaching and learning strategy is face-to-face, but it's a continuum to completely online. And we have tools, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, flipped classroom, all of those are now integrated. I'm also chairperson of the University of South Africa, where all the 26 universities gets together. And we've got special task team now to look at how we can use artificial intelligence more positively within higher education. But it is just to make that change that is not a threat.
Mm.
And if you make that change, then I think the opportunities are limitless. And that is what we need to get right.
So let's perhaps just in closing, let's put on the record that you are serving out your last few months as Vice Chancellor of the University of the Free State and moving on to the University of Pretoria, itself a very distinguished institute. It never had the privilege of educating me, so I can't speak to its quality, but I'm sure you'll be able to improve it. So, Prof, it seems over the last year or two that the University of the Free State has become just a much more stable environment, much more stable campus. There was a lot of disruption for a number of years. It was almost an annual, it was almost on the calendar for when the riots would break out. What do you think your legacy would be as you now consider leaving the institution?
Yeah. So, that's a question that I have reflected a couple of times on. And I think there's probably three or four things. The first one is about the stability of the institution through leadership. And when I talk about leadership, it's not only my own leadership, but the leadership of the team. And that has meant that the institution was much more stable, but also the interaction that we have with all our stakeholders has improved dramatically. The second one is the fact that and I'm going to use the term social cohesion, welcoming. I've seen so many people that now wants to come back to the university. We had the Free State Art Festival there a few weeks ago. You must come and visit your alma mater. But it's the infrastructure, the welcoming, you sense it when you're on campus. And I think that social cohesion, welcoming, is for me quite important, and I have contributed to that as well. The third one is the fact that our undergraduate program, in terms of student success, the initiative, the intervention, the integrated approaches that we have taken, we're leading South Africa in that regard, and a lot of investment has gone to it, but also good thinking, robust thinking. And and the final one is that hopefully, and I felt that I have made a small contribution to focus on the University of the Free State as more outward looking, not inward, and to say, well, we're there. Rest of the world, rest of the continent, rest of South Africa, you're welcome to see us. And our Vision 130, which is doing and is planning to do exactly that. So I think those four things is for myself, other people might judge it differently, is what I think is part of the legacy that I've left at the university or will be leaving at the University of the Free State.
I'm talking to Professor Francis Peterson, the Vice Chancellor of the University of the Free State, as he visits Namibia. Prof, thank you for popping in. It was always interesting to catch up, and good luck with the rest of the conference, and all the best with the big steps that lie ahead for you personally as well.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much.